Do I even have to say it? Y'all just heard that gospel lesson, the famous story of the Good Samaritan. You've heard that one before. You've heard me preach before. You don't live under a rock, so you read the news or watch the news. You've seen the news. So you already know what I'm going to say. But I'm going to say it anyway, because not everybody's in the room, and some people listen to this from home, and they're probably going to still want to hear it. But I could just look at you all sitting here right now, and you would know. But I'm going to say it anyway. The Good Samaritan story is well known, fairly straightforward. The religious leaders, who you'd expect to help the man who'd fallen among robbers, they turn their faces, they walk by on the other side of the road, they want nothing to do with him. And it is the Samaritan, the despised foreigner, who chooses to care for the man, who pays the money, who uses his own animal, who takes his own time, who cares for the person in need. And who was a neighbor to the man? Well, it was the one who showed him mercy. Go and do likewise. It's a pretty easy story to understand. That's partly why it's so famous and popular. That's also, And this story, this Good Samaritan story, is good news for people in need. It might be bad news for people like me who are supposed to help but would rather look away. In Lutheran parlance, in Lutheran jargon that we use sometimes here, this story is gospel for those in need. Because God wants to help people in need, and God will send people, even unlikely people, to help those in need. So it's gospel for the people in need. But it's law, in, again, Lutheran words, law for those of us who prioritize our own comfort over our neighbors in need, people like me. Remember, law, in Lutheran understanding, is the part of the scriptures that hold up a mirror to us, that show us how we fall short of what God would have us do. And this story is law for the people who are the religious leaders who might say the right things but then do the wrong things against people like me. Now, this beloved Good Samaritan parable is just an illustration of Jesus' actual point, which is to love God and love your neighbor. When, again, the young lawyer asks Jesus how to justify himself. Or, I'm sorry, not how to justify himself, how to gain eternal life, which, well, that could be the same thing, which is a little different. So he says, how can I gain eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the law say? And he says, well, you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, yeah, duh, so do that. But then, of course, seeking to justify himself, because the whole point of this question was to make himself look smart and make Jesus look dumb. Good luck with that. Then he asks, well, who is my neighbor? And then the story, and then, you know, he answers it himself, and it's a pretty sound argument on Jesus' part. We say it all the time. Love God and love your neighbor. That's the commandment. In Matthew's gospel, it is which commandment is the greatest. It elicits this same response from Jesus, this love God and love your neighbor business. And so those are the main things. That's the distillation of all the law and all the prophets. All the stuff is to love God and to love your neighbor. That's the whole point of the law. It's not love God and fear your neighbor. It's not love God and deport your neighbor. It's not love power and punish your neighbor. And it's not love safety and ignore your neighbor. It is love God and love your neighbor. Who is the neighbor? Well, we can go back to the scriptural reference that Jesus is referring to here. From Leviticus chapter 19, this is verse 18, says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, which is kind of an emphasis point. You shall love the neighbor as yourself. Now, in that original Leviticus context, your neighbor was your own people, the people from your own place, the people of Israel. Those were identified originally as the neighbor. And then, a few verses later, in verses 33 and 34 of that same 19th chapter of Leviticus, it says this. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien, The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now these two verses are separated by some other words, but in the same chapter, in the same speech, in the same part of the law of Moses, have always been connected through all of Jewish history and through all of Christian history, as long as we've been paying attention to what the Bible actually says. Originally the neighbor was your own person. The foreigner was not considered the neighbor in the original text. But the alien gets exactly the same treatment as the neighbor. And so the neighbor has come to mean both things, to come to mean all the people around you. And indeed, the way Jesus uses this story is that same way, when it is the foreigner, the despised foreigner, the rival foreigner, who is the neighbor to the man. And this leads us into our brief detour on how Lutherans read the Bible. Some of you have heard this. We've been talking about it in Bible study, for those of you who've been able to join us on the Tuesdays, right? We're doing Bible study. So there's the five things we've gone through recently about how Lutherans read the Bible specifically. Law and gospel is one. We already talked about law and gospel. The gospel is the good news. The law is the part that shows us how we need God's mercy. One of the principles that says Scripture interprets Scripture, so you use the Scriptures to show us what's important in the Scriptures. Just like Jesus is interpreting the Scriptures, that's what this is. And Jesus says the most important thing in the Scriptures is to love God and love your neighbor, as we just showed. And the third one of those Lutheran interpretive principles says the things that point us to Jesus. And that's pretty much the same thing at this point. Jesus is the one that says, this is the most important thing. So those are the things that point us to Jesus. It ain't too tough to figure out. The next one of those says, the sense that this passage made to the original hearers. I think this Good Samaritan passage, we've seen the sense that it made to the original hearers. We've already, it just makes pretty simple, mostly the same sense to us that it had to them. The Samaritan was a foreigner. You know, we know this stuff. This is pretty straightforward stuff. And the last Lutheran principle for interpreting the Bible is that we do it with other people. The Bible isn't just full of private messages just for me, or even just for us, but it's for everybody. It would be fascinating to take this passage of Scripture this week and read it together with members of the other churches that worship here, with, you know, Good Samaritan Church, which are former refugees mostly, which is with the Ebenezer Elim, the new church led by Guatemalan people. Have you heard of Guatemalan people in the news lately? They're the very people that are being persecuted by our government right now. To read this with them might be very interesting. Or even with the people from Heaven Citizenship next door. You know, Pastor Francois is from Ivory Coast, and he's also an immigrant. He's not from this country either. To read this passage with all of those people together and see what it means that it is the Samaritan who cares, to see what it means to love one's neighbor. The point of this little diversion is to say that the way that we read the Bible, all five specially Lutheran ways we read the Bible, point back to the same clear, obvious message. There's no getting out of it. This is a core teaching of Jesus and a core teaching of the Old Testament and the New Testament. That you love your neighbor, that you provide hospitality for the person in need, that you care for the person who is different from you. And this week in this country, the person today in this country, the person who is different from you is the families of undocumented immigrants who are being targeted by ICE, this newfangled agency that just started after 9/11 because we were all afraid. And so they created a new special police force for the government to hunt down mostly people who are not white, who are not supposed to be here, apparently. And so apparently today they're supposed to attack, or attack is probably not quite the right word, maybe. But they're supposed to go after 2,000 different families in 10 different cities around the country as a show of force to make people afraid. Just like the concentration camps on the southern border, the point is to make people afraid, to make people not want to be in this country, to make people want to run for their lives, people who have already run for their lives. And the government's policy is to scare them or to punish them until they leave, apparently. I don't know where they expect them to go. Here's the thing about the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You all know this. If it's not good news for everybody, if it's not good news for the people who need it most, then it's not good news for anybody. If the gospel is not good news for the families who are huddled in fear today, afraid of being deported, maybe in their own homes, maybe they fled their homes, they don't feel safe there, the government has their address, they're hiding somewhere else, they're not sure if they can go home today or ever, back to where they've been staying. If the gospel of Jesus Christ is not good news for these people, then it's not good news at all. Then it's just false news that we would tell ourselves, saying we follow Jesus and we follow the law and all that's great. Jesus has told us the law. It's right here. It's love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has told us the law. I kept thinking of people, myself included, us included, but so many white American Christians this morning hearing this story, and I kept thinking of the phrase, trying to weasel out of our responsibility for caring for our neighbor. And then I thought, well, that's disrespectful to weasels. I mean, a weasel is a noble and majestic and beautiful creature of the woodlands or whatever. Weasel never did anything to you. No, it's only people that could come up with this. How do I write this down? Only fearful, selfish humans seeking to justify ourselves could dream up the rationalization that would read this Good Samaritan story in any other way. In any other way, but that we need to care for our neighbor, that we need to stop this deportation nonsense. That we need to recognize that Jesus' law is more important than the laws that we've created in this country, allegedly to keep us safe from them, whoever them is. Nah. They're not weaseling out, we're like humaning out, right? That's what people do. We justify ourselves, we make up our rationalizations, we look the other way, we distract ourselves however we can. We continue to paint the picture until we're the heroes in the story, no matter how it works. That's the human way. That's, again, the law showing us how we fall short of what God wants for us. So we have a choice to make. We often have choices to make. It seems it might not be quite this simple, but I think we can more or less boil down our choice today to following the way of Jesus or following the other way. Let's call it the way of the empire. The way that says the important thing is the strength of the empire. In this case, the American empire. In Jesus' day, it was the Roman empire. But it kind of comes out to the same thing, don't you think? We can follow the way of Jesus or the way of the empire. Instead of saying, well, they broke the law. Again, Jesus has told us the law. Love God and love your neighbor. Now, the families who fled violence to seek asylum in a land of opportunity, they also have choices to make, and they have made choices. They've risked separating, you know, husbands from wives, children from parents. These families who left everything they knew for the uncertainty of hope in a better future. Those families didn't have the easy choice to make that we have today, follow Jesus or follow the empire. They had to make terrible choices again and again, maybe even just this morning again, trying to decide how to keep their families safe, maybe how to keep their families together. Is it different? Maybe keeping your family separate is what actually keeps them safe, and you don't see your kids again. Maybe that's the safe thing. That's not a choice I've ever had to consider. But that's a choice being faced by thousands of people right here today in this country and in this continent and all around the world in places where war and strife and violence threaten our safety. Now, our choice should be easy. Remembering what God has done for us in Jesus, remembering his life and death and resurrection, remembering how we have been set free from the power of sin and death, free to love God and love our neighbor. Remembering all that, will we follow Jesus? Or will we look away and throw up our hands while our neighbors are beaten and dragged from their homes or the streets? or their churches? Will we follow Jesus? Amen.